The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. John bore witness to him and cried, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his faithfulness have we all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Seated. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's still Christmas. Christmas lasts for 12 days. That means that it doesn't end until next Saturday, which is the Feast of the Epiphany. So, still in Christmas, still with the miraculous birth of Christ, still with the plan of God, still with all the wonder. John's Gospel that we read for this morning, that first chunk of John's Gospel, is peculiar in all the Gospels. In fact, John is peculiar in all the Gospels. And everybody, all the commentary people, all the theologians, everybody keeps trying to figure out why in the world is John like it is. Well, some of the commentators think that John is caught up in this idea of an eternal battle between good and evil, between light and not light, between physical and spiritual. John seems to be caught up in the midst of that until you read that marvelous sentence, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And that gives the lie to all those thoughts that John was portraying in his gospel, something like the dualistic philosophy of the old Greeks. No, it is possible for light and not light to be friends. It is possible for the spiritual and the physical to be together. There is no eternal battle going on in John's gospel. But what is going on is the plan of God that began with the act of God's creation and hasn't stopped and will not stop until the far end of the book of the Revelation, when the kingdom of God comes at last to the earth and God again makes his dwelling among us. You see that in the other scriptures for today. You see that in the Old Testament scripture as the prophet speaks of a return from the exile, a hope that is there, a hope that is based on the fact that God has made a promise, and that the promise of God is going to be fulfilled, and the people are going to rejoice as they see it happening around them. It's a marvelous idea, and the psalmist also picks that up when he talks about the care that God has for all of creation, not just the people he has chosen, but all the nations of the world, and indeed all of the world. And he points out that God's promise in the beginning, which was, "And it was very good." That promise continues to take place. As God cares about the sun and the moon and the stars of the sky, even knowing them each by name, takes care of the rocks and the trees, he takes care of the beasts that fly in the air, that walk on the earth and swim in the sea. He takes care for all of them. And he has fulfilled his promise that all of that is good. And then he made a promise to Adam and Eve as they were thrown out of the garden, that he would not end the relationship that he has with humankind, even though perhaps Adam and Eve deserved that, yet he would not do it. They would not die, they would have children, and the human race would continue. And then again, in the flood, he calls on Noah to build an ark to preserve all that he has created. Not only humankind, but all of the animals and the earth itself, preserved from the flood. And the promise has been kept. Paul sees that promise in a somewhat new light. He says, God's promise was not just for the people of Israel. God's promise was for all of us, and he has come into the world with this idea in mind, that those who believe will be children of God. The gospel bears that out, even as it denies the eternal conflict that some people see there. For he says, let me back up just a sentence here. When you look at the word overcome, the Greek can be translated overcome, in which case there is a battle, or it can be translated comprehend, or understand. And if you choose that
term, understand,
comprehend, then the rest of that gospel piece makes a lot of sense. He came into the world, though the world did not understand. He came to his own people and they did not understand, but to those who did understand, to those who believed, to those who saw in Jesus Christ the final act of the promise of God, he gave them power to become children of God. And if we are children of God, then we are heirs, joint heirs with Christ of the promise of the living God. We become the children of God. And what has he planned for us
now that we have
laid hold of that promise? He plans growth. Like a garden brings forth that which is planted in the springtime. He calls us to growth. He calls us to grow closer and closer to him and bring his kingdom closer and closer to us each day of our lives. And you, my brothers and sisters, have grown tremendously over the many years with the many clergy that you have had, and now he renews his promise. For he calls you to continue to grow, and he's given you everything that you will need to grow. He has given you the Word of God. He has given you the gospel. He has given you life. He has given you hope. And now, at this moment in time, he has given you a new rector. And your job is to grow with him into the promise of God. As he comes to this place, you will find new growth. You will find new hope. You will find that the promise of God is being fulfilled in your very midst. Amen.